I want to give you just a little preview of coming attractions of Donna's Memorial. This, you know, there's going to be some guests come from Iowa, and not too many, probably about maybe 5, 6, we don't know at this point, but the scriptures that have to do with, you know, death and passing and eternity and life everlasting and all of those things most Christians know, and pretty much all memorial services and funeral services are pretty much the same, pretty much alike. Some of the scriptures that I'm going to refer to are not necessarily traditional, but this is ongoing for all of us. This is, you know, a continual reminder. All those that live in hope of seeing Jesus as he is, purify themselves. All those that are living to see Jesus, conscious, with a consciousness of wanting to see Jesus, wanting to actually meet him. You know, the experience that we have here varies with kind of each believer. Some have had a more dramatic encounter than others. There are those that believe but don't have a whole lot of experience in their walk, in their life. And there's all kinds of reasons for that. But, and that's why, you know, the encouragement that constantly comes from me is, if you haven't been encountered by Jesus personally, to where that encounter with him has changed your motivation, your inspiration, your behavior of life, then you can have that. He's basically waiting on you. And there's something about religion, the spirit of religion. Religion, you know, generic, impersonal religion exists here. It exists every time we read the Bible. It all really revolves around whether or not I'm giving from experience or whether I'm giving from knowledge. What I give from knowledge and learning and curriculum and, we'll say, institutionalized, formalized religion, what I give in that spirit creates an impersonal, inactive religious atmosphere and spirit from which you cannot personally attach to. Does that make sense to you? You know, it's like hearing an obituary, it's hearing someone talk about someone else. In fact, but not in experience. You know, talking about how somebody is and what they did, what they liked, all of those things from fact, but not from having a personal experience with him. The spirit that's loosed is different. You can't personally attach to fact without experience, without a personal touch. This is something that is a mystery. It's a mystery in religion. It's the difference between religion and a relationship with the Lord himself. Even though I may give from experience and personal experience, what I have touched and seen and handled concerning Jesus, you could still sit there and filter that, not attach, not connect to that personal experience, and just hear it through the ears of formalism. You can hear it through the way you were educated. That's why I've talked a lot about education and the absolute negative and destructive behavior that education gives. Because most of what you were educated in did not come from anybody's experience. It came from books. And the very way you were instructed and the spirit under which you were instructed was formalism. It wasn't personal. And so it set your spirit. Now this is kind of deep. It's kind of a mystery. But it set your spirit. And this is why people have a hard time really engaging and attaching to me, because I'm not giving you what I've learned, what I've studied, what I've tests that I've passed, degrees that I've gotten. My education has not been formal. My education has been hands-on experience. But because the foundation of, myself included, all of our instruction growing up, going to school, was all based in formalism. Can you see that? It was all formalism. Now, I graduated high school with a D-minus average. You needed 1.25 to graduate. I had a 1.26. I couldn't rise to being educated out of books. I grew up, as you know, on a county airport dirt strip in the beginning, crop dusting business, cattle searches, you know. My life was, everything was instruction, training, hands-on experience, and discipline. You know, when you weren't listening, you got hit in the back of the head. Strictly hit in the back of the head. If you weren't paying attention, you got smacked. It doesn't take too much of that, unless you're Irish. It doesn't take too much of that before you pay attention. And I couldn't, there was something in me that just could not connect to book learning. I saw very little value in it. I mean, I'm not saying there's no value to it. I'm saying, for the most part, I couldn't connect to it. It was very impersonal. And I was extremely personal. I was actually Mr. Personality in school. I was about the only guy that could make the teacher laugh. And it just was me. So, but what I didn't know is the Lord was covering me and blinding me and causing me to become disinterested and not open to formal education, because he wanted me walking in and out of people's lives in experience and reality. But even though I may speak in experience and reality, because you were instructed in formal things, and when I say formal education, I mean impersonal education. And many of you excelled at that. And what I have found in my short little tenure on this earth, now at 74 years old, having gone back to high school reunions and everything, now we're at 40th or 50th reunion, which I'm not going back to, but what I have found is, and this is true, this is unbelievable, Scott Brynelson and I were the two lowest out of 78 graduates. He was 77 and I was 78 on the bottom of the list. He became a multimillionaire and I ended up with a worldwide ministry. Go figure. And TV personality. And I didn't do it by being educated. I did it because I wasn't educated. I did it because I was able to respond to the voice of the Spirit and yield myself to the experience of signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts of the Spirit. And anytime I got into an atmosphere of formal instruction, I left. I couldn't abide it. I didn't abide it. It's who he's made me to be. Now, there's a flip side of that, which means I'll never be a brain surgeon or a scientist or a rocket scientist or a, you know, geologist or a lot of these engineer, a lot of these areas of learning that you need to have formal education. But everyone that I've ever met that has that are deficient in relationships and reality and experience. They cannot think outside the box. If you don't give them a formula for what you're talking about, they don't get it. So they become highly successful in the world of business and commerce and science and medicine, but they are empties when it comes to personal, inspired, relational qualities of life. Makes sense, doesn't it? The Lord loves them too, and the Lord is continually trying to bring a balance into their life. So what I'm saying is, if you don't have that encounter, if you haven't had that encounter, you can. You just have to be willing to get out of whatever is working for you and just start loving the Lord and let him know above everything that's in your life, you want to experience a touch from him. Out of everything in your life, what you want most is a touch from Jesus. That's what you have to come to that place. And I'm talking to adults. Some of you who are, who have been born again and then died. And then been born again again. Resurrected from the dead. I'm talking to adults who experience, you know, formalism and reality every day in certain measures. We're all affected by our environment. Back in science, way back in school, the question was posed: Are we all products of our environment? And the answer to that was yes. I answered no. Because I understood it as a conditioning influence of life that I was resisting. I'm going to resist my environment if I see that it's not producing good things in me. I'm resisting it. Yes, I may become a product of my environment. I may also become a product of another environment that I don't exist in, don't live in. It's my choice. Now, I wasn't taught that. I didn't take philosophy 101. But that's exactly the way we should be. Yes, we are products of our environment. What we have to do is judge, is the environment that I'm becoming like or that I'm like, is that good? Does that benefit me? Is that bringing life to my spirit? And so, more important than anything, what's the most important thing in my life? At 74, what's the most important thing? Somebody said, oh, that you got saved. I say no. That Jesus Christ encountered me. Because everything stems from that. If I was just encountered by religion, then I would be confused and, you know, half in, half out, you know. So, I'm just going to read at Thessalonians 4, starting verse 1. Furthermore, because of the things which I've just said, we beseech you, brothers, and we exhort you by the Lord Jesus, as you have received of us, and as you have received of me, how you should walk, and to please God, that you would do more so and more so. That you would do so and abound in it. For you know what commandments I gave you by the Lord Jesus, the commandments of walking in open communion and fellowship with the Holy Ghost and one another, speaking the truth in love, judging that which is right and judging that which is wrong, walking uprightly in this world, keeping yourself unspotted from things that tear down your soul and compromise your soul, attaching yourself to love and faith and goodness and righteousness and things that are pure and just and holy and good, attaching yourself, connecting yourself to those that walk as they have us for an example. And I would not have you be ignorant, verse 13 says, concerning those which have gone on, those which have passed on. I don't want you to be ignorant. Concerning those which are asleep, I don't want you to sorrow about them, even as others do who have no hope, who don't have the hope you do. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so then, also those that sleep in Jesus will God bring from the dead to be with him. What a promise. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord to you. That you not be sad, not be sorrowful. And who, those of us who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, will not prevent those that have gone ahead. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. What in the world is that? A voice heard throughout the cosmos. Your alarm clock wakes you up from a sound sleep. A thousand people yelling at you around your bed to wake you up is a little whisper concerning the voice of the archangel. Nothing dead can live. Nothing dead can remain dead when the voice of God wakes you up. Mm-hmm. When the voice of Jesus speaks to you,
right.
You won't
That's
remain
right.
dead.
Right.
But you have to admit that you're asleep. You have to admit that you're dead. You have to admit that you're indifferent. You have to admit that you don't have the goods. And tell him, above all things in my life, I want to hear your voice. I want you to touch me. I want you to encounter me, Jesus. That's all that matters to me. With the trumpet of God, and the dead shall rise first. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Guess what? The dead, apart from Christ, will rise also. All the wicked dead are not going to be able to stay dead when the voice speaks. They're going to awake to eternal judgment. The believers, those who have been touched by Jesus and covered by the blood of his sacrifice, will awaken to life everlasting. And those who have not the blood of his sacrifice over their soul will awaken unto everlasting judgment. So then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, in the clouds to meet the Lord. And we shall forever be with the Lord. As a result of this, comfort one another with these words. Okay, Daniel, what have you for us? Many shall war against the Lamb.
I mean, when you were first talking about formal education and your resistance to it, I was thinking of, you know, what we've seen, what we have heard, it's our bread upon the waters, because we live by every word. We'll speak it too. We'll tell our sons.
That's right.
I will sing the last verse of that song because it's perfect.
Why don't you sing it?
Let him do it. Let him sing the last verse.
And so the dead are being raised, the lost are now found. And as the Spirit speaks, they make a joyful sound, just like that little old man. With my original plea, I'm still asking you, Jesus, I wish you would encounter me.
Yes.
It's all been done before.
Yes.